Blog Talk Radio.
Woke up this morning and something changed. Just wanna laugh, just wanna dance. And if I'm lucky, gonna get some romance. Whoa, not gonna be sad, not gonna be mad. Gonna make this the best day I've ever had. Not gonna be sad, not gonna be mad. Gonna make this the best day that I've ever had. Yeah, the best day I've ever had. Oh, time for me to play, live each day my way. No more begging anyone to stay. Gonna go out and be just who I am, 'cause I like who I am. Not gonna be sad, not gonna be mad. Gonna make this the best day I've ever had. Not gonna be sad, not gonna be mad. Gonna make this the best day that I've ever had.
Well, hello everybody, and that person who wrote that song, half of the team, is here, and that's Judy Schneider, and it's a very peppy song and happy, and she'll talk about that a little too, because her and her husband wrote that song and the words, and as writers, that matters. So, and it's a very happy song, and while I'm listening to it, which I've heard it many times before, I'm thinking, oh, I probably should just use it all the time, because you can't be in a bad mood when you listen to that song. So, hello, everybody, and I'm going to let Linda Hansen is here and Judy Schneider, and they will each tell you a little bit about themselves, and then we will go into an off-the-cuff discussion about many things, and we'll have fun. So, I'll introduce Judy first. Judy, you didn't know I'm playing that.
No, thank you very much. And it is a happy song. We'll talk, you know,
yes,
thank you
is.
Very much.
I'm sitting here.
It
and
is. I put that on every day. It's funny. And we wrote, well, I'll talk later. We wrote it to make people happy. I mean, to, you know, just one of those, I want to be happy.
Right. Exactly. So I'm listening to it. And, you know, I only usually have the promo on for a few minutes. And so then I'm listening. I'm going like, oh, my God, it's still going on, and I'm sitting and moving around.
Anytime you want to use it, you can. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Well, I always use it when you're on the show, for sure.
Thank you.
Tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I started a long time ago, started writing books as a kid, and then I was in, I'm a retired licensed clinical social worker, doing all sorts of counseling in life and various settings. And then I was hired from that and started working in a children's library at a school and got to know what kids like, what they don't like. Plus, I've always loved picture books. I have two grown kids, and they always like picture books too. And I say picture books, for me, it's in the hand. I'm not everyone, you know, I'm not a, what's the word? Online,
You're not a Kindle.
Say.
You'd rather
not
you'd
a Kindle user.
It.
Not a Kindle. I'd rather hold them in my hand and do that. And I do that. I have a 4-year-old granddaughter. And so once I was in the school, one of the kids read one of the books that I was writing manuscripts and said, "Why don't you publish this?" It was about my cat and socks. And I said, "Okay." So I self-published Goldie's Baby Socks, and then I did it in Spanish. And then my sister Joan and I wrote I Love You, Be Careful, which is a real sweet sentimental, really a gift, as Linda was saying, for the parents to buy.
It's a great Mother's Day.
It's a real definitely. Mother's Day, and the parents, the grandparents. And so we did that together, and that was really fun. And she wouldn't mind me saying that what makes it even double special is she's a 33-year-old breast cancer survivor, 33 years. Yeah. And so, you know, just I have another sister too, so just a sister thing. It was nice. And then Marcia got me. All of a sudden, Marcia says, "You can do suspense," and we argued back and forth. I go, "No, I can't." She goes, "Yes, you can." "No, I can." "Yes, you can." And Marcia had already written books, and I like her books. And so I tried, and I did the first book with World Castle Publishing. Then the second, third. I tend to write short suspense books. I like quick reads, mm-hmm. and so she was right. I could do that, And then I got them out there, and my husband and I just finished one a couple weeks ago that we did together for the first time, and that was called Betrayed. And so we did that one. So we're always trying to do books. We're trying to do songs, which we did with a Nashville company, which we got some really good singers, different songs. And now I have about 10 children's manuscripts that I'm sending out in a bundle, short ones, and hoping someone will pick them up. But you know, it's kind of the ever hopeful, and I still like children's books too.
We can't say you don't try.
I know, but that's what I'm going on. But that just gives you an idea of the sort of things that I'm doing. Thank you.
Yes, because it's hard to get published. We'll talk about that. Okay, and so I'm Belinda Hansen. Hi, how are you? I'm so glad that we connected finally on the show.
Hello, I'm fine. I can't thank you enough for having me on today.
Oh, you're welcome.
And I look forward to being part of it.
Okay, so tell everybody a little bit about yourself. We spoke briefly yesterday, so fill everybody in.
Well, I am a newbie writer. I wrote my first book at 77 and self-published it 2 years ago. I just wrote my second book and self-published it again, and it became available December 1st. Both my books are children's picture books,
okay.
And I happen to paint in watercolor, which I started doing 6 years ago. So not only did I write my books, but as I tell people, my work from cover to cover, because
are you on a cell phone? I'm just trying to think. There's a little static.
Yeah, I am on a cell phone. We don't have a land phone anymore.
No, nobody. I know nobody does. I know. I'm sorry.
I do.
Nobody does.
But I'm a dinosaur. I do too.
But so I couldn't hear. Are you walking or something? There's a little fogging.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you want to tell the whole story again? Or?
Yeah. No. That we heard. We heard that part. But, you know, so, right.
Okay.
And you,
so.
Yeah,
so,
and your water.
So I
you were talking about the water.
The pictures are all my watercolors, and as I tell people, and I told you yesterday, I am what I call OLD. I'm old. in July, I will be 80. So I've started all this late in life, and unlike many authors with whom I've met and spoken, I never ever thought of writing a book. It just was something that wasn't on my list at all of things that I wanted to do.
Right.
So
right.
It's truly been an amazing surprise to me.
See, right. I think there's a lot of things people don't realize they can do, but they don't. And the fact is that doing it matters. It does. And you did it. So that's great.
Well,
never too late.
And I tell people, it doesn't matter how young or how old you are. If there's something you want to do, you should just do it. Because there's only one failure, and the failure is not in trying. Success is a very subjective thing. It is not objective. And so who's to say that you were successful or not, other than you yourself? But the important thing is that you tried. And like I said, not trying is what is the only thing that would make you a failure.
Yes, I think it's good to try. And I think, you know, the children's market is a tough market. I was a literary agent, and I should say I'm a writer, and I forgot. Everybody says, say who you are. Okay, I'm an author, screenwriter, and a podcast host for 15, and I produce all the shows. That's for 15 years. First, I started with Virginia Grenier and World of Ink Network. And now I progressed to my own for years, Michigan Avenue Media. So, and I also was an agent, and that's how I met Judy. I was her husband's agent, and Judy was very thorough, and she called, and she wrote, and she tried hard, you know, and she wasn't writing then. So that's how I met Judy. But we were talking about independent, but I call it independent because when a lot of years ago, when people just started, when people were independently publishing, self-publishing, people would think that you just like put the book together with glue and just pages. And actually, I should say there were people that did, and you could send me things, and they were glued together. They were, you know, with, because as you said, when you do painting, it's really good. So if when you at least can express yourself, because when you send it to an editor to try to get published, sometimes they have no idea what you're thinking about how you do your drawings. And a lot of them, I said this before, they're not as creative as everybody thinks. So they can't see, you know, in their mind sometimes, which I wish that when you send to a publisher, you could send pictures of just what you're thinking, but they don't like it unless you are an artist, you know. But I do think that helps sell the book because you are expressing what you think.
Yeah, I made no attempt to try to find a publisher.
Right.
I had talked to a few people, and they all told me how difficult it was.
It is.
The market has drastically changed in the last 5 years, maybe pushing to 10 years, where people are doing self-publishing. Now, mind you, I had no idea what was involved in self-publishing. That's a whole another world that I just sometimes still shake my head at and go, I can't believe what I'm doing. And originally
it's good that you've got that.
Oh, it's great. And when I wrote the first book about Otto the Otter, A Big Surprise, it's a true story. And all my neighbors knew about our otter and what was going on. And one of my neighbors every night would say to me, you should write a book. You should write a book. And I'd go, I don't know how to write a book. And this went on and on and on. And finally, one day after about 2 weeks, just to shut her up, I went into the house and I real fast wrote the manuscript. I had already painted several pictures of the otter. And so I put them in a binder and I gave it to her that night. And I said, here's your damn book. And she said, oh, you need to publish this. So I was one of those people, I thought I was going to go to Office Depot or Staples and have them, you know, make me 20 copies and put it with a spiral binder and call it my published book. And I was going to make 20 and just give them away. And as I did my self-published book and I did offset printing and I started trying to get it into libraries, all the libraries wanted me to give it to them. Well, I can't afford to give it to you. It costs me money. And one library, the librarian said, if you want, bring it in so I can look at it. So I said, great. So I walked in with my book, and she took one look at it, and she said, don't call any more libraries. I want you to walk in with your book. She said, when you tell librarians that you're a local author, they think that you're just going to have printed it off at home or gone to Office Depot and just
and that's, that is a problem, right. Yeah.
And she said, just glorious. Yeah. She said, don't do that anymore. She said, walk in and let them see your book, then tell them you're a local author. And that made a big difference. But I still don't understand the library world, I'm sorry to say.
Well, I think one of the things, Judy, do you want to talk a little about that library thing? Because it's hard. I mean, you know, you worked in
it. I can't speak to it now because I was there for about 8 years, I think stopped in 2006. And we used to, I was at a children's library, and so we had every type of what was going on and books and themes, et cetera. And we occasionally would get an author, but usually it was a local author or maybe, let's say, a big-name one that was around the United States. When I did my book and finished it, they let me do it there. I had always hoped to get in Scholastic sometime because they have the Scholastic book fairs. But they sometimes, again, it's like to show up, as Linda said, to show up at and say, this is the book, would you consider doing that? But I've heard it's gotten harder, but I love reading to kids, so that was like the highlight of me doing kids' books is to see their faces when I read my book to them. I know if I saw your cover, Linda, of Otto, beautiful. I looked at it today actually on the internet, and the drawings you do, you're really a good artist. Beautiful.
See, and,
thank you,
and that's
very,
a good thing.
Much.
When you are an artist, you can sell yourself. But when you have just words, that is harder, you know. But I do think the libraries, it would be nice if they're not that easy to get into. And I think that's one of the problems. I think that they used to be nice, but they're not,
I think they don't care anymore,
and that's what a sad thing is, because you know why? Kids love to speak to authors. They love it.
Well, I have read the book at 4 different libraries that are in my area, and, I mean, obviously the goal is to sell books. I've read it at 4 libraries. I've sold 3 books.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't even worth the time that I had to drive. But I've also been, we've had 3 libraries have local author days.
Yes.
I'm going to one this Saturday. And they're having 40 local authors.
You're allowed
to sell your books.
Oh,
and when
that's
I have
good.
Done that, it's those have been successful for me.
But I was
just trying to get the book, you know, to get the library to put the book on their shelves. That was an effort.
Did they? Yeah, that's the other thing. That, you know, and that is tough. And that it's kind of sad.
Well,
actually,
for your public – oh, sorry, I interrupted you.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say for the public library, it's very interesting because for the public library, we always donate, whether it be my book or my husband's book or the one we just did together, or with my sister Joni, we'll donate it to the library. So I went in the other day to donate the newest one, and they have a local author shelf. And we never thought to ask, where's your local author shelf? So she said, do you want me to take you over there? So we went over there, and it was so cool to see our books, but what was cooler was to go in the children's library, which I had never been in, believe it or not, for our big library in Virginia Beach. And she said, let me show you where your books are on the shelf. Well, we walk in, and what's on the top of the shelf, what book is displayed, is My Sister and My Book. And it was just oh, my gosh. And so I always recommend people give a copy, if you haven't already, give a copy to your local library. And maybe there's one or two, a relative, you know, where they live. They will put them, and if you're local, a lot of times they'll put them in the local author section. But this was worn. In fact, I have to give them another one because it was so cool to see the book was like all worn.
Yeah, that's great.
But that's just a tip.
Yes, but as far as making money on that, no, people usually don't. I do think years ago people made money going. Well, they still do. You know, they go to book fairs and they do stuff like that. But the problem is there's so many authors now that it is very difficult. I went years ago, and I was doing a fair, and I had my books there, and the kids were looking at the books, but the mothers were looking at other things, and the kids said, oh, I want to buy this, you know, and they said, we'll come back later, and then, no, but I saw the mother leave the things for her, but she didn't buy the child the book that they wanted. So from then on, I thought to myself, I don't know. So I donate. If people ask me, I'll donate books. I prefer to do that. You know, if they would want me to speak, I would definitely speak at a library again, and I went to schools. But it's not like it was, so it is a little difficult. And local, I haven't really done, you know, I could do this, and I think I should again, but I do know that it's very difficult for people. So it is good if you're on, you know, if you can market books and do a good job, but it is hard with children's books. So I think most of us know any book. So one of the things is no matter what you write, everybody has the same issues. It's not easy. I mean, some have it easier than others, but it's very hard to get you can have a fan page on Facebook, but it's very hard because of the fact there are so many people now. So you almost have to just enjoy what you do, hope that people like the books, and keep writing.
Absolutely.
And it's not much anybody can say.
As Linda said, just
this.
enjoy, and you know, that's enjoy it. And just, it's just fun to, I find it enjoyable, but.
Yes, right.
For new people, maybe, Marcia, you can talk about marketing. Because as Linda said, marketing is, and I know you have referred me and my husband and I to some marketing people. Then that's been really helpful.
It is good. It is good. And, you know, when you have people out there, there are people that do it inexpensively, but because most of the authors that are on the show, either they've just spent so much already that they don't want to spend any more, but you need to market. And so I think that is a problem for everybody, no matter who you are, what you write. It's just hard, and you just have to keep doing it. But I believe that you can do a lot of teasers, pictures, things like that. And naturally, Linda, you're an artist, so you can put out things all the time and show your work. But it is hard to market. You want to tell your story a little bit that you just mentioned before the show about somebody asking you a question about marketing?
Oh, I had my book. I used an offset printer, and I have to say my books look glorious because of it. There's a big difference between doing offset printing and digital printing. And so I had – the books were already at the printer. I mean, I was into this now for some serious dollars. And I was at this market, and there was a children's book writer there. So I was chatting with her and telling her where I was at in this process. And she looked at me and she said, "How are you going to market your book?" And I thought I was so bright. I said, "Well, I'm going to do A, B, and C." And she looked at me and she said, "No, I asked you, how are you going to market your book?" So I took a breath and I said, "Oh, well, I'm going to do D, E, and F." And she looked at me and now, not sweet, she goes, "No, I asked you, how are you going to market your book?" And I could feel myself being really perturbed with her and frustrated.
Yeah.
So I took a deep breath and I thought, stay calm, don't get rude. And I said, "Well, I'm going to do JKL. And with that, she looked at me and pointed at me. She says, "Now you answered my question. Don't ask me what I said. I don't remember."
Yeah.
But she went on to tell me about a book that had been written about marketing for books. And it says, if you haven't figured out how you're going to market your book before you've written it, don't write the book.
Well, that's not actually true. I'll tell you why. Because if everybody started reading about marketing first, they would be discouraged. Because once you pick up one book,
true.
You know, and because everybody thinks they're an expert on writing. But it's just a lot of times it's how much you put into this. It's not really luck because you're really pursuing it. So it's, you know, you're the person that's the writer is doing that. But if everybody thought about marketing first, I know they tell you things like that, but that is so overwhelming to a new author, they'll never write. And they'll never write another one for sure. Because after they write the first one, they might not make a lot of money. And then they'll be done writing. And then the world will be missing an author. Because nobody knows later in time who will pick up your book and love it. And that will make somebody so happy. And that's really, that's the message.
But at the same time, we need to know how to market a book. Because if we don't make any money doing it, we're going to be equally as frustrated. It's very expensive, especially if we're self-publishing.
Well, if you went the route you did and you did offshore printing, it's very expensive. But they look beautiful, right? That's a difference.
They look beautiful. Oh, I think
Amazon,
I'm offshore. My books are printed here in the United States.
Oh, they are. Okay, well, that's good.
And...
All right, so that's good. All right, so, well, either way, you know, I have a publisher that's for independence. It's Fidelity Publishing. All my books, even at the beginning, 15 years ago, and I did clip art in those years we did it, and it looked great. Nobody even knew. The kids when I went to schools, and now I have, you know, illustrators that have done it, if the person that is putting the book together does a great job, your book looks just like everybody else's. You can't tell the difference between the only one that, and a lot of books that you see that can tell is a person, if you tell someone it's by the name of the publisher or whatever, but otherwise the independent publishing world has changed so much, the books look gorgeous. Nobody knows, and people that are looking for a book, they don't care who publishes it, except other authors.
Well, they don't care who publishes
people...
it, but they do subconsciously. I was at a Barnes & Noble doing a story time, and they had brought my book in for me to meet the author and sign it.
Yeah.
We had gone through all of the hardcovers that they had bought. They buy theirs from this one company that does all of the POD, which is digital printing. And I have one of my my offset printed books that I keep on a display. So this person, when I said, I'm sorry that we sold out of the hardcover books, I have soft cover. No, I don't want soft. I want hard. Can't I buy this one? And they picked up my book. And I said, no, I'm very sorry. I can't sell it to you. And they looked at it very closely. And anybody who has seen both books, and especially if they've had both of them in their hand, will always buy the digital book. It is glued. It is not glued. It is sewn and not glued. That is a big difference. They have, my books have end pages, and the people who do the POD don't do end pages. So
wait,
it makes the
okay, wait. I have to just say something. You know, I have to say something. I've been doing this 20 years. That's not always the case. Judy has beautiful books. My books are beautiful. And I think whoever might be giving you some advice or saying things isn't really helpful. Because that's really, if that were true, that would be so many books. People would go like, oh, we don't like your book. It doesn't look good. These books that people have are beautiful. There's no way.
They are beautiful. People don't know the difference unless they have seen them both. Then they know the difference. Because my books sell on Amazon. They sell at Barnes & Noble.
Right.
And those
I don't know. I mean, Judy, do you have anything to say about that?
I'm confused.
When you're
talking about, you guys know, but when you're saying about a certain type of print versus the other, I know print on demand, but the other one, can you explain a little more what you mean by that?
Yeah, go ahead.
The type of printing, when you say you compare the two together, I'm a little confused.
Yeah.
The people who do POD, and there's several companies out there who do that, is print on demand, and they are they're digitally printed. It just comes off. They just print it digitally, and the ink stays on the surface of the paper. And they say that they're using a certain weight for the cover and a certain weight for the pages.
Right. And
but
Amazon,
Google,
let me just say something. Amazon will not accept a book if it doesn't fit the requirements. I've had many people that have been on the show, they had issues with the color, whatever, and they figured it out. But Amazon will not approve a book that doesn't look right. I don't know about, I'm not talking about what's in the book. I'm talking about the physical, because they won't put it out there to be bought.
They expect a certain quality. And the people that they use to do their POD does that. But an offset printed book is not done digitally. It's done through an offset printing process where the ink goes into the paper.
I see what you're saying.
If you saw the two books next to each other, you're right. People who have only seen the one, they think it's lovely and they're thrilled. But if they've seen both and if they've had an opportunity, then they know. And like I said, the POD books are glued. They are not sewn. So it's easy for the pages to fall out. When they're done by an offset printer, they will sew your books together.
Well, I will say, I kind of don't understand that in some way, because I don't have any of my books ever falling apart. Judy?
Oh, no. I don't know, it might be a different printer, but my publisher, Castle, and we don't have any, I don't have any of that problem.
I don't have
with
that.
Them.
No, I don't either.
But it might be the printer. It might be the printer they use too. There might be another company, print on demand, that uses a different type of print, you know what I mean, on-demand printer. I don't know.
I don't have anything. I never have had a problem with any pages coming out, the cover.
Like Linda, though.
Linda, because you are an expert artist, and that's the
beautiful.
Difference. That's why
go ahead.
I couldn't. I would, I, like most of the books that everybody has, we unless you, well, there's a lot of publishers that, you know, that don't do it right. That I'll say. And then when they go to Amazon, they can't get it on right because if the ink is not, if it's not done right, I know what you're saying, because then the book, it could be blurry and it doesn't look right. So it's really important. I guess what I'm trying to say is it's very important of who does your book. So, I mean, lots of people so that may do people's books that don't look right, and then it's a problem. And then it looks like a book that somebody did, just, you know, self-published it. I call it independent because when you're an independent publisher, you pick out your title, your pages, your book, whatever. And I've been with smaller publishers, and they make the decisions. But when I'm in charge, that's why I've gone to the same person, and I know how she puts a book out. But
self-publishing or independent publisher, you're making all the decisions yourself. But actually, besides your editor, I think the most important person that we work with is your graphic designer. And
right.
I have this amazing graphic designer who's done both of my books. I send her the written words. I send her all of my pictures.
Mention that Fidelity Publishing, she is a graphic, Robin Surface is a graphic artist. So you're right about that, yes. Because the problem now is there's a lot of people out there, marketers or whatever, they are not experts. And unfortunately, people that are just starting out, sometimes they stop writing because they've spent so much unnecessary money that they give it up. Because there are ways, and I've always said that somebody needs some help, they can always call me. I'll send them someplace. I don't do any of this. I know where to go. But I've always put my hands with one publisher. But you can. And I have seen people spend $20,000 and not get even a copy of their book. So this is one reason I do the show, and I tell people this because there are so many people, like you are saying something that, yes, people get themselves involved and then they don't stay in the business because they've had a very bad experience. But obviously you know what you're doing because you're an artist, so you would know this. But most of us that aren't artists rely on the person doing the book.
I think that's really true because for my two children's books, I was a member of Society of Children's Writers a long time ago. I'm not currently now. And so I got a wonderful illustrator for my first book, Goldie's Baby Socks, that fit that book.
Yeah.
And then for I Love You, Be Careful, it was a very different person in Raleigh, North Carolina. So for people who are starting out there, you don't have to be in the same city for your illustrator.
Exactly.
You can do it long distance. And I can't draw. I do strict figures. So that's why, Linda, I'm so in awe of your drawing. I cannot either.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
I just don't.
So great. That's
and
great
I don't edit.
That.
I'm not an editor. I'm not good at editing. Yeah. Well, editing. I think you can do it even if you don't have a talent in those things. You still have to spend some money, and you still have to make the decision who you want to represent your book. But then again, whoever did the cover of yours, Linda, or your graphic artist and yourself did a nice job.
Yeah, it's my drawing,
and all the graphic artist did was take it, and actually when she sent me the first draft of it, I said no, and I told her that I would like to see this, this, and this, and she said okay, and she made a few of the changes. And then that came back, and I said, that's better, but, and I gave her some more direction that I wanted. So then we did a Zoom. You know, Zoom's changed the world.
It has,
and within a half hour, she had made all the changes that I had envisioned for the book. And then off I was to the races. But your editor, and if you need an illustrator, and your graphic designer are all the people who make our stories come to life. And interviewing for your illustrator can be a major thing, because somebody might be a good artist, but they don't do work that suits the style of what you have in mind.
Well, that's very true. I've had that happen too. Absolutely, you're right. And that's a problem with publishing, because sometimes when you send your words in to a publisher, this is why people don't get, that's what I was saying at the beginning, they don't get taken, because they can't imagine sometimes the way you're imagining it as the writer. And when you can, if you could at least show them or tell them what you thought might be good, but they don't want it. So, and it is hard. Children's books are almost impossible to get published by a big publisher. And that is why now things are so much better, that people who would normally keep their work in their drawers now have taken them out and made them into books, and they're beautiful books, and people are enjoying it. But it is a hard process. There's no doubt about that. It's not easy.
And I think
it's not for everybody.
No. And I also think whether you're doing children's books or novels, it doesn't matter. Your editor is a very important person. And again, I think a big difference between being self-published and if somebody's fortunate enough to have a publisher, I have a friend who writes sort of mystery novels is probably the best way to describe them. And he managed after 3 years to get a publisher.
Yeah.
And they published his book.
Well, it takes
very,
a long
very
time.
Well.
It could take 5 years to get it, or not at all.
Yeah,
it could take forever.
He finally found a publisher. I must say he's now written a second book and he's doing very well. But he and I had this discussion. And he said the publisher made so many changes to his manuscript and what he had written. And he says, I learned that I just had to live with it, because otherwise they won't publish it.
Well, it depends on the publisher too, because the one that that I use, my husband used now, is called World Castle, and the main owner and publisher has been just fabulous in terms of, but it's a whole process. It takes.
She's really thorough, and she does.
She's very thorough. She gives you different editorial cover options, and you have to get accepted first. It takes a while, so it's not a quick thing. But if I can quickly say, also with me not being good at editing, they assign you an editor, and so we've had editors through them. But it really helps, because I'm not an editor. When Karen got back to me one time, she said, "Judy, when you write a book," this is my first one, she said, "you don't put 70 exclamation points in your book." Those are saved for. And so I always laugh about that, because my emails have tons of exclamation points. But I always thank her for that, because it was so funny. Because she's trying to be real nice about it. You don't put 70 ones. I had to take those out because she was doing some editing.
But, and she's a very good example. And actually, I was looking at her website, and it's really – changed a lot. She's got so many authors and so many books. She started out small, and she's been doing this for years, and she has some really great writers, and she has good editors, so the books come out looking good, and I think...
And she has all her film stuff, too, She connects with the film world. They have some film,
And it's important for all of these things, and that is true. But you like to, in order to put it on Amazon or whatever, you have to have the right size, for the, so, I mean, that part is difficult. So I applaud people if they can. I can't do it. I that's not my thing, but some people can, but it is important to get it done right. I refer people, and I mentioned this, I think a few weeks ago on my show, people coming, they want to know how to publish and what I did and what anybody could do, because I've been doing this for so long. And by the time I've talked to them, they already are tired. They don't want to do it because it's a lot of work. It's not for the faint of heart. I mean, it's hard. It's difficult because, then comes marketing. And marketing is absolutely, most authors worst nightmare. I don't like it, but I do it, but I've had other people do it. It's, no matter how much you do, it's either never enough or too much. I mean, even sometimes, you know, and it's hard.
And do you know, Marcia, that's the fun part, one of the fun. I mean, I have someone who markets, but I love marketing.
I love
spreading the words. I have those little cards I'll say to my husband, remember to put cards in your pocket, you know.
But
I just say that because that's just me. I love
marketing. But you're not on Facebook and you're not on Twitter very much.
I'm on Facebook as an author. Judy
Snyder.
Right,
so you're not, though.
But I'm not Facebook in terms of friends. No, I have followers, but I don't do friends for personal reasons. Yeah.
It's not even, it's not that.
Yeah.
When they put out the message, if you get a marketing person, the way it goes is you have to market it. They put the teaser out, and you have to go out.
We have, there's a wonderful one. I don't know if you're going to talk about Crystal, but she does a really nice job.
Yeah, Crystal. She'll be on in a few weeks, I think, with Michael Sanchez, one of her authors. Yes. She does great teasers. Yes. But in your case, Linda, you can do your own. You do your own.
Go ahead. What were you saying?
Yes. You do your own artwork.
Instagram to do any more today?
I'm everywhere. Marcia, you're everywhere, and Crystal puts my husband's my thing on Instagram. We get Instagram author Judy Snyder author Gil Snyder author. So we put things on there, and sometimes pictures, or Crystal puts a lot of things on there. So yeah, I like Instagram anyhow. Do you use it?
She's on LinkedIn.
Linda, do you
LinkedIn.
Use it on I don't put much on LinkedIn because I see that more as a business. I don't put much, but Instagram I do. Do you go on, Linda? Do you put your things on Instagram?
I put my things on Instagram. I have a Facebook author page on Facebook. People like me. I have a lot of followers, but
That's
I have
great.
Not been able to see them getting any sales from that.
Which is very common. That's the problem. It's getting sales, which is very difficult. And all the person can do is just keep doing those things and getting themselves out. And then my advice now is just primarily keep writing, because the more books you have, the better it is. And in the children's market, though, it is a very difficult market. I have books in other markets, children's. A lot of times I just say, oh, forget it. I'm not even going to do it. I do. I go like, oh, forget it. Then I go like, no, I have a Facebook page. I'll put it out. I'll put it on Pinterest. But it's there was a play, and it's still, I think, out there. It's called Magic Blocks. It's MAGICBLOX, I think. And they had a really good program to put authors out with their books. And I had the guy that owned it for years ago on my show all the time, many times. But I think they're still out there, and I think my books are actually still there, and I should probably, while I'm talking, think about doing that, because going back in there. Because they promote children's books good, Magic Block. But a lot of I have asked people over the years, you know, to be like assistants and go out for the children's market. Nobody really wants to do it. It's very difficult, children's. They'll do it for romance. They'll do it for murder mystery. They'll do it for nonfiction, you know, historical. It's difficult. But, you know, that's why after all these years, my message lately has been enjoy what you're doing. Because I will say one, as being a person that was an agent and could not get these people's books out there that were so good, just do the independent marketing, because these books, kids love them. And I don't want people to stop writing because of it. It's just a very hard market to do things. But when you do a book and a little child comes up and tells you how they love that book,
love it.
That's everything. Or an adult book, if they love your book, if they like your characters. So let's just talk about this now, about characters. So tell us a little, Linda, tell me a little bit about how you decided on your characters.
Well, the Otto book was real easy. The Otter book,
because the character is the otter, and it's a true story. So it's something that I got to experience. So it wasn't that I had to create the character. The character was there in front of my face. We saw the otter this Sunday for 4.5 hours, and it's in a pond that is next to our home that when we bought our home, we didn't know it, but we found out we own the property that the pond sits on. So it's just this really, I mean, it just fell into my lap. And as I said earlier, I never planned to write a book. A neighbor of mine pushed me to do it. And then my second book was ironically absolutely no different. It is also a true story about a little dog that was lost. And ironically, the same neighbor who pushed me to write the first book, she found a little dog lost on our street when she was walking one night. And so she sent me a text saying, "You know the dog?" And that became the next story.
What's it called, Linda?
It's Little Lost Dog Looking for His Home.
Okay, Little Lost Dog Looking for His Home. Okay.
And
so,
obviously
you're ready to keep going with publishing. You just keep doing it. So I think that's wonderful.
I'm not sure that there's going to be a third book, but I'm getting a lot of pressure to do one. There's been discussion about Allie, the shy gator.
That'd be cute. I like the title of that one,
But that's what we're doing in a children's picture book, because you can't do friendly, you can't do comfortable education about the alligator because they're not friendly. You know, you don't want to try to pet an alligator. You don't want to be in their space. So that becomes, you know, I can educate, but I can't tell them, I can't go into the fact of what they eat. You know, that would be more disturbing, I think, to children.
You'd have to watch that.
Well, you could, but see, don't they have, I recall seeing little alligator toys and stuff like that. So, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's because it is a scary thing, an alligator.
Yeah,
and snakes
are
scary to people.
So,
but I think kids kind of like those things. They kind of like, you know, things like that.
They do. So it's something that I'm kicking around. And because I just got the new book, the dog book, became active December 1st, I'm not rushing to get the next book, the third book, done. And I don't paint fast. I need 16 paintings per book, and they usually take me about 4 months just of painting time.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I think seeing how you are out there and able to discuss everything you feel and not shy, maybe you could try TikTok, because TikTok, BookTok it is. It's like the people on BookTok, I think, are different than the TikTok. I don't know. I'm on BookTok, and the people, that's all they're doing is showing books and talking. And I think there's a lot of visibility a person can get from it.
Marcia, what is BookTok? Seriously, what is BookTok?
Well, you just go on TikTok, and then I'm on BookTok. There's another thing, BookTok. But TikTok, many authors are there. I don't do live ones. I'll put a book and, you know, put some tags on it and a song. But I think, Linda, you would probably be able to go out there and just do a live one with yourself. I'd look into it for
thank
you.
Thank you for that suggestion. I just recently heard about BookTok.
Yeah, I think you can do that. You know, I don't like to be in front of the camera. I was not really who I don't even like pictures. But it appears that I think you would be good at that, and you could probably even start doing a YouTube and read the book out loud to kids and put it on YouTube, and that works pretty good.
I have one YouTube that someone did of me, but it was a vocal reading, not a visual reading.
Yeah, but you
and
could
I've
probably
got,
just read the book or talk on a YouTube, because I think you – I know I don't have it in me to do that yet. I keep saying I'll do it, but I don't think so. But I think you can do this. It appears that you'd be able to do it. And I think.
But the otter book is on
YouTube at least three times that I can think of where people have contacted me and asked me, could they read the book on their channel?
That's really good.
Oh, that's lovely.
But you should do it, yeah. But I think you yourself, I think you might be a type of person that can do it. I don't think I can.
No, I think
what about you?
That.
Yeah, I think you can.
Well, I probably
could. You've got it.
I love going to the schools and reading the book because it is so much fun. And hearing the questions that children want to know afterwards.
I know. I love it. Yeah.
I think that part's great. Yeah, I do too. That's the one thing that makes everything. It really is. I mean, that's the thing about, you know, and that's why bookstores should have more children's authors. You know, I think libraries do. I think it's not monetarily good for the author exactly, but I think it's good for the author mentally to see the reaction of how kids feel when they're listening to your words. So I think, and that changes everything once an author sees how much a child likes their words. That makes it all seem, all of the things that they do seem right. And, but that, you know, we all can't do everything. And that is the problem, is that I think, like when she said marketing and about marketing, yeah, what are you going to do? So far, I can't say there's an exact plan. Everybody does their own, and they see what works, what doesn't work, and a lot of it doesn't work, and it's very time-consuming.
The other thing, for people listening who are wanting that extra thing in terms of marketing is you know, I've said before, you know, if you attended whatever school, whether it be high school, college, grad school, you know, they always put a blurb in. So-and-so from this year did this book. And then your local TV stations occasionally. I know my husband's first book, Brain Warp, they came and did a story on that because what had gone on in the world, actually. And so there's always those, okay, a local magazine that is looking, once we got a senior, I'm in my 70s, but once we got a senior magazine and they came and did a story about that. So there's always, if you have fun doing that sort of thing, there's always someone you can call or email. And they might say no, but then again, they might say yes. So those are just a couple options.
Yeah, and you always have to be willing to knock on doors, and one no doesn't mean no forever.
Absolutely.
I went to a Barnes & Noble, they told me no. I went back 2 months later and approached them again, and they told me no, and then I went back a month later, and
good
they told
you.
Me yes.
Good for you. That's great.
And you have to be willing. No doesn't mean no forever, and if you don't knock on doors, they can't tell you yes or no. So you
absolutely.
Have to be willing.
Some people have very good luck if they're in smaller towns or if they're, you know, Chicago, New York, L.A., they're tough. You know, I'm in Chicago area. It's tough. But I think sometimes I've had authors on that they're in smaller towns and their book does pretty well because they bring it to events, they go to schools, they talk to, you know, and they're much easier to get into because a lot of, and I think a lot of bookstores, they went out of business, but some are coming back again, like Barnes & Noble. I think they're bringing a couple more into Chicagoland area. They took them out, and now they're bringing them back because I think people might be tired of constantly being on their phone, and I think they may need to go into a store, like a bookstore or something.
You're absolutely right.
I think it's happening.
The feel of walking into a bookstore just to this day I love, you know.
Yeah, because I think there are, and I saw another bookstore somewhere else now. I think this would be very good. However, the people that own the bookstores, they need to change their attitude just a bit and be a little nicer to people. I don't understand that. If we're going to give them free books or to be in there, why they just would say no or they're not interested? I don't understand it. They don't even know what the book is about, you know, and that's really – you know, and they're a bookstore. So a bookstore means something. If you watch Hallmark, like I do all the time, Hallmark, they always have things in bookstores. and the author's coming and this one's happy, you know, that they're reading a book. I mean, that's really what would be good for authors. But unfortunately, it's very tough. And I know what you're saying, Linda, but I think you, you know, seeing as how you talk and want to get this done, I think you can do TikTok. So if I were you, I'd look into this TikTok for yourself.
I will, but
to be out there. And
I have a question there
and
about TikTok.
You know, and like in YouTube. And YouTube, you know, I think it's a good thing.
Well, I have a question about TikTok, and I don't mean to be political, but you're hearing all this stuff about they're trying to ban TikTok because the Chinese control it. And so
I know, and
when I heard
think
about
I don't
the,
know.
TikTok,
yeah. What
I,
do you, I mean, that's
I was
the whole thing.
Do.
I don't know either. Yeah, I don't know either because I am on where I don't see anything other than like books and things like that. I think it's what you sign up for. I think it's BookTok that I started with. So I'll look and I'll see and I can send you the link because I do not see the messaging that other people see. So maybe the book, the part with the books is different because I don't see any of the other, I don't see posts. But I can't remember if I signed up. I'm not, if you put down what you're interested in, maybe that could be something. I know, hopefully I know because my friends, people that I know, they're saying, oh, they don't, what do you mean you're on TikTok? I mean, but I think for what I see it does for people, it gets them out there and their book noticed, and it's immediate reaction. And I don't see any fighting like on Facebook, or I don't see anything like that yet. So I may not be looking at it the way other people do. I don't get into conversations that might not be in anybody's favor. I don't do that. I don't do political.
Yeah,
I don't do any of that. So I
don't. I don't.
Saying.
I don't either.
Right. I don't do that. But so I think the part that I go in on, I just see people's books. You know, and then people talking. So I think that might be the case. You know,
yeah,
I think you
have
to be
careful. You have to be.
I'm going to look into it today.
I think you have to be careful too. There's some. I want to back to marketing again, but my husband, there's a couple places you can use that will online, which I did once before, and I liked it. Online book tour, where you go to the various blogs, or they. And you know, they talk about your book or they'll send you questions to answer. And I really like that. The only one word of caution with that is you have to let them know from the beginning, is there any type of site that you wouldn't want? Like for my children's books or my suspense books, they're suspense, but they're not horror. They're not real sexy. And so and he didn't want his books on one that was too sexy. You know what I mean? You know, wasn't. And so you have to check and get a sense of what blogs they'll be on. So you don't go, oh my gosh, I had no idea this would be on this blog. And, you know, I'm real aware of that being a children's book author and a suspense author, although I love good suspense, but I don't like gore and I don't like blood. And being a children's author, I'm real, and being a past social worker, a therapist, I'm real aware of what could be crossing the line, you know, in terms of things.
Well, I do think everybody, you know, I will say, you know, the show's almost over, but I got to say one thing. You out there, you have to be very careful about what you do. Because all of this does matter. Social media matters, just as it does to get your book out, but also you don't want to get involved with groups that are not nice. That they have bad political things that they you don't want to do. So you do have to be careful on the groups that you go into and things you do. But saying that, we all don't know everything. This is a problem.
Right.
You know,
you just
have to
go when you go in if you can.
Possibly could. You know, and I don't see a lot of the things that people, because I am in other friends groups or whatever and this one and that, but I don't get involved in conversations that might lead to
I don't at all.
An argument.
So if
you keep that in mind for those.
And I don't need to be argumentative. It's just two nuts out there. It's called being
Well, the other thing
what people have to be careful about is we're talking about marketing, but you also have to be careful. I'm very careful about what sites I go in. I mean, because anything can come back and haunt you later.
Absolutely.
So I'm very careful.
Marcia, absolutely.
And my advice always as an agent to people was, if you think you might have a problem, then don't do it. If you think it's possible then.
Yeah,
you have to be careful.
Not mind readers. But if you ever, wait, if you think, but if you don't think about it, and it might be fine, but if you do think it in your mind, could this be a problem, then don't do it.
And that's why I think a good website too, Marcia and Linda, I say that my son is our webmaster. He's terrific. But having a good website that shows how you can get to Facebook or get to Instagram or your story and kept updated. I love a good website. Yeah. I love to go to people's websites.
Yeah, I do. I go
and Marcia,
too.
We've got to mention your book that I love. And I plug this book, but I love this book. I have it here. It's called I Wish I Were a Brownie. And it's a wonderful book for kids who wishes they were something else with their self-esteem. And frankly, nowadays with kids, you know, looking in the mirror, looking or going to FaceTime and saying, oh, I don't look like that. Or I wish I was something else. It's a really nice one that them learning to, like, be happy they're who they are. And it's called I Wish I Were a Brownie. Marcia, I'm plugging it, but I like the book.
Thank
I won't
you.
Lend it
I
out because I like it so much.
All right, thank you. I have to say this. You know, for people out there that are listening to the show, look, if you have a question, ask me, ask somebody else that you might think knows something, because the last thing you want to do is get in any trouble financially because you've paid too much and you don't get what you paid for. So be careful. Ask a friend if you know that has done a book already and who they went to, because you really can get yourself in hot water and spend much more than you really need to, like I had said before, because it happens. And it's not that you're a gullible or you're a fool. It's not. It's very easy to do because there are a lot of people out there that make it seem like they know everything and that you have to go to them because they are the experts. But in this field, it's quite, you have to be careful.
Yes, absolutely.
Not everybody is what they think.
You see,
and that's about the internet market in general. It may have, you may see a good website, you may see this or that, but those people could disappear by taking their website off. And they're gone.
Absolutely.
Right, then you know who they are. So I think people have to be careful with that. So, Linda, tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, I'm interested in your book for my granddaughter. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Well, you can certainly buy the books, both books, on Amazon.
Amazon, okay.
Or, as I always tell people, for an autographed copy, you should go to my website, which is lindahansenauthor.com. And Hansen is spelled H-A-N-S-E-N.
Oh, okay. E-N.
You know what? Send me the link to your website, and I'll put it on. I didn't put them on the show yet. You know, we've had some incidents with the website as far as with our shows that they weren't going to be on, you know, because there was a few. They had some problems as far as their audio and whatever last week. So I didn't put as much on as I usually do on the site. So I'm going to put the websites down, both of you, in there.
Marcia, you have the link to my website. It is underneath my signature of my emails.
Okay, good.
So you already have it.
Okay. And Judy, I know yours. So,
Judy is I say with Snyder, though, because everyone thinks it's S-N-Y. It's Judy, S-N-I-D-E-R. JudySnyder.com is my main.
I've known you 20 years. I sometimes do that myself.
I know. Everybody is. My main name was Kazonis, and I thought I'd never have to spell it again, but now I'm spelling Snyder, S-N-I-D-E-R. So JudySnyder.com.
All right, and thank you both, you know, for being. And so I'll put both the websites.
Well, I thank you so much. Thank you for allowing me to be part of this dialogue.
I like to hear what people have to say. I like to hear, you know, I like it when people talk about what they do because I think other people need to hear other stories, you know. And certainly, at 80 years old, you are doing phenomenal. And it's wonderful.
Thank
so
you.
I wouldn't for even 5 minutes think about anything about just keep going. I mean, that's my motto. You go till you can't. That's how I look at it. Keep going.
That's a good – I've never heard that. You go till you can't. I like that.
Right, exactly. Just keep moving.
Well, thank you, Marcia, for having – you know, nice meeting you, Linda.
Thank you both. Thank you
both. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Have a wonderful day. Bye, everybody.